Truly, what a wonderful Savior. And my friends, I hope you know today the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just know about the wonderful Savior, but know Him intimately as your wonderful Savior. And that, my friends, only by believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior can you be saved and born again and forgiven of your sins, to be redeemed and forgiven, and when we were bound to a devil's hell, to have those sin chains broken, and that now we are heaven-bound. And so, my friends, I'd like to encourage us this morning from the Word of God, of course, the title of this morning's message, that my house may be filled. It's a first-person vernacular, of course, from this parable that Jesus expounds about this certain man that made a great supper. Of course, that pictures God, but God desires that His house may be filled. Let's go to the book of Luke, and then turn with me to chapter 14 in the book of Luke, and then verse 15. We'll expound on the Word of God together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15, the Word of God says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." You know, the Lord really, really loves us. And the Lord really, really wants people to be saved. He wants you to be saved. But by His sovereignty, He has chosen to give you that free will to receive Him in thankfulness, in humility, or to reject Him. If you are saved, my friend, you have no one to thank but God. But if you are lost and die and go to a devil's hell, you have no one to blame but yourself. And by the way, the only way to turn this country around, of course, now we get into the political season, I get that. The only way to turn this country around is for people to get saved. The problem with our country is a spiritual problem, not a political problem. And the only answer to a spiritual problem is Jesus Christ, the exalted Savior. And people need to be saved to be born again by the Spirit of God. And by the way, my friends, this country is not turning around if God's house does not start filling up. Salvation in this parable, the great feast prepared by God with invitations sent out. But just because, as we've already read, just because someone receives an invitation does not mean that they get saved. They need to respond to it. I can only tell you, I can't even tell you, the number of invites that we get, whether it's a, you know, some type of sale event, sometimes it's a social event. We get the invitation, RSVP. No, nowadays they send even a save the date. And so they don't even send the invite yet, they just send save the date. And now we're thinking, well, I'm a 2-for-1 guy, okay? I've saved the date, I've got to wait for the invite. Okay, but you know, they it's a big deal, so people want you to come, they do a save the date, they do a RSVP, you know, and so we've got so many invites, but we don't always respond to these invites. And so just to ask us, my friends, this morning, candidly from the heart, have we responded to God's invitation for salvation? If you have, God wants to use us to extend his invitation of salvation to others. And so let's bow our head for prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house this morning. And Father, we are a thankful people. Thank you for those that responded to your invitation this morning to assemble. And Father, we are humbled to be here. Help us, Lord, to always be thankful, to rejoice truly that we don't have to go to church, that we get to go to church, that we rejoice to be here so that we can truly praise you from our lips, Father, from our heart, that we give of ourselves to you. Father, what an awesome thought to be part of an assembly where Christ himself is in the midst of us. And so, Father, we ask that you anoint these lips of clay, hide me behind the cross. Father, please use me in spite of my failure, in spite of my vanity and my sin, that you would just use me to speak your precious, precious word, that it would land in the fertile soil of our heart, Father, that if there's any wayward soul here, Father, who knows not Jesus Christ as their wonderful Savior, they'll get saved even today by trusting in him. Father, just save the sinner and exhort and edify the saints. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends. Just to put some context here, Jesus, of course, his feasting, his dining with the Pharisees, the bad guys, okay? But just to put it in context, go back to verse 1. I just want you to understand here that this is a large, crowded dining banquet, okay, that some big shot Pharisee had put up. And so Jesus is invited along with the others, who's who, okay? And so some of the other big shots. And so let's go to verse 1 just to set the stage here, and then we're going to dive into the word. But verse 1, it says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees, so one of the big dogs, okay, to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him, okay. And so you have here all the Pharisees and company, and they're all seated around in this banquet hall room with in different places of honor. But there are also other quote unquote regular people, okay, more common people, including this gentleman with the dropsy, which is in verse 2, okay? And so this dropsy would be just, it would be an abnormal swelling of the body and limbs, okay? An edema, I think they call it. But anyway, he had some kind of, health issue. He was there along with other, quote-unquote, less honorable of society, those that people would kind of thumb their noses to. And so I want you to see this. Jesus is seated here. You've got the host. You got his friends. And then you have all the other Pharisees at tables of honor. And then you have everyone else. They're kind of crowded around the room, okay? So no seats for them, okay? But they are like the second-class citizens, okay? So they're all over there. And, of course, we know the story. Jesus heals the man on the Sabbath. And, of course, he rebukes the Pharisees for their hypocrisy because they certainly get their own oxen out of the pit. Why not God, save and heal a man on the Sabbath? Of course, that's their own hypocrisy. And then Jesus goes on to rebuke and expose the way that these guests would seat themselves. They all want to sit in the position of honor. If you think of, like at a wedding reception, you have the head table, right? If I'm just a guest, I'm not going to sit next to the groom, right? Because I'm not the best man, right? I mean, so there's a certain order of things. I don't sit right at the table, right in front of the head table, because that's where the immediate family sits, right? In fact, if you're just one of the friends, you'd be at the fringe tables. I mean, that's how it works. And so the idea is he was rebuking the Pharisees because they all wanted to be at the head table. And so he told them, hey, be humble, let someone else exalt you, don't exalt yourself, etc. And then Jesus goes on to rebuke the host. He's got something for everyone. He tells the host, you know, when you make a feast and you invite people, in fact, that's the context here. So let's go to verse 12. I want us to catch this because it's gonna springboard into our main passage. So verse 12 kind of builds the context here. And so he says to the host, okay, and the key word is invite, okay, because that's going to be used in the following story. So verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, to the host, the one that invited everyone, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Now this is almost verbatim as verse 21, okay, who are they going to call? Okay, that's huge. Okay, so verse 14. And so when you do that, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You know, when God gives rewards to his people in heaven, okay? And so that's the context. Now, verse 15 says, and when one of them, so one of the guests, One of the Pharisees, okay? One of them that sat at meat with him. So this is Mr. Pharisee. He represents, again, the Pharisees represent the religious crowd, okay, of even today. And so a religious person, okay, when one of the Pharisees, he hears this, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not quite sure what the motive is. The scripture doesn't reveal to us why he said what he said, okay? And he's not wrong in stating this, what he states, which is kind of an obvious thing. So maybe he said it, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to avoid rebuke. I mean, I can tell you why I would have said it if I was him. I've just seen Jesus correct everyone. I'm going to just play it safe and state something obvious. I mean, that's how I would do it, okay? Like, yeah, it would be awesome to have fellowship with God in heaven. Surely Jesus can't disagree there, which he doesn't. Or maybe he just wanted the last word over Jesus. I don't know. It doesn't say his motive, but he makes some obvious statement, okay, which is not wrong. Jesus doesn't rebuke him, but there is a even more subtle context to that, because Jesus had just gotten done talking about the resurrection of the just, okay, when God is going to reward his faithful servants in heaven. And there is a assumption which Jesus now is going to expose, because this Pharisee, this unnamed person, which I put myself there, okay, he makes this true statement, which is not wrong. You can ask any religious person, is heaven going to be awesome? They're like, well, yeah, heaven's awesome, but what's the assumption? They're assuming they're going to be there. I'm just saying, now, what you're saying is not wrong. Heaven is awesome. It's great to have fellowship with God in heaven. I mean, of course, that's a duh. That's a no-brainer. But the assumption of this Pharisee, as with a great many religious people who are trusting in their good works, their church affiliation, their baptism, their communion, partaking in the Lord's table, all these things, but not exclusively in Jesus Christ. Because salvation is a relation. It's not a religion. And so when the assumption, like this gentleman, he assumes that when Jesus talks about the just in the previous verse, he thinks he's just, okay? And so he tries to play it safe, make a statement that Jesus can't rebuke and Jesus doesn't, but Jesus still turns it to a teaching opportunity, okay? Because Jesus wants to expose something, and the idea is this. Truth number one, receiving an invitation is not the same as responding to it. Receiving it, that's good, but it's not the same as responding to it, okay? And so Jesus gives this story. And so he says this in verse 15, which is not wrong, and Jesus doesn't correct him, but Jesus takes that thought and says, well, speaking about get to heaven, Mr. Pharisee, here's a story. Then, verse 16, said he unto who? Who's Jesus talking to in verse 16? This is huge. He says he's talking unto him. So he's not just talking to everyone. He's talking to this one Pharisee that made this comment, because he needs to get, you know, he needs to know this. And the idea is that, of course, accepting any invitation, especially salvation, and serving God, it is a personal decision. It is a one-on-one. God has given us the invitation individually to receive him as our Savior. We respond to the invitation individually. So Jesus is speaking to him one-on-one. And sit unto him, he gives him this story, this parable. And in this story here, again, salvation is pictured by this feast. Of course, this certain man is God the Father. Okay, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So it starts off with this invitation, okay, that goes out speaking about invites. This big feast, this elaborate feast is in the works. And before the day of the feast rolls around, as soon as the preparation for this feast is underway and the date and the venue is planned, invitations go out, okay? And so many are invited. So they get the save the date. And then later on, they get the RSVP, they get the invitation. And so everyone and their brother knows that this big feast is happening, okay? This certain man, this is a master, the Lord, maybe he's the king, or he's the mayor, or I mean, the governor. So everyone's invited to come to this feast. Everyone knows it. All the invites at this point, everything seems good. Every home has the invites slapped on their bridge, on their fridge. Okay, so the invites are out there. And then look at verse 17, and sent his servants at supper time. Now this is huge, because how many people have gotten invitations, RSVPs? Everyone's gotten? Come on. A lot. I'm assuming a lot of hands, okay? Maybe some shy folks, okay? But say, assuming all of us, at some point we've gotten some invite. Now, let me ask this. How many of us, on the day of, get a personal wake-up call from the host and say, hey, Wayne, don't forget, today's the day. Make sure you're there. Now, who's got that? None of us, right? I mean, we get the invitations. That's about as good as it gets, right? We just get the paper invite. That's about it. It's up to us to do our own, you know, but we don't get a personal call the day of saying, all right, here it is, come on, let alone a personal visit. I mean, we certainly don't have, you know, one of the waiters show up and like, you guys coming? Limo's right here. I mean, they don't do that, right? And so this certain man went above and beyond to get the people here. There is no way they will forget. Okay, because he sent an invite, everyone's got it in the calendar, blocked it out. On the day of, he's got a personal reminder. The servants show up in person to tell them, right? Sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden. These are those that were already invited. They get even one more personal invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Let's go. This is it. This is the big event. But look at verse 18. The whole town or neighborhood make excuses. Right? They give excuses, you know, all kinds of excuses. Financial reasons, work reasons, personal reasons, okay? But I want us to understand the bottom line. What they are saying is they have so much going on in their life, don't miss this, that they're unable to make it. It's like them saying, or it's like me saying, my current life is good and full. I can't afford to go. Sorry. I got those invites, but I can't afford to go. They have all these reasons. Again, and you can dissect it. You can apply it how we like, right? We say, well, preacher, I don't have oxen. Well, put something else there. Okay, what fits? Okay, the idea is we have all kinds of personal, financial, life reasons. Life happens. But essentially what you're saying is my life is too full. My life is good. I have too much going on. Can't come. So they reject it. And this is heartbreaking. Because we can tell by all the effort put in how great the feast is. And also, it doesn't just say some random minor feast. It says great supper. Great supper. By the way, I don't know, if you tell me there's free ramen, I'll be there. Okay, let alone, you know, this is the surf and turf. I mean, you're talking about the fancy stuff, all there. But the life is too good, too busy, can't afford to come. And so what a heartbreak for the master. Because he really, really wants people to get saved. He really, really wants people to come. But truth number one, receiving an invitation is not the same as responding to it. So what happens? Well, verse 21. So the servant comes and gives the tough news, the bad news. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. I mean, he's sad, but he's also angry, wrathful. And he said, to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither. Now, this is pretty amazing. Before I read that list there, the master, he's wise, he's smart, he's angry and disappointed that his people rejected the invitation. They got it, but they didn't respond to it, okay? They got it because he sent it. Like it or not, they got an invitation, but they rejected it. They didn't want it. So he's angry and upset about that. But he also knows the type of person who actually will respond to an invitation. He knows the type of character, the type of person, the type of individual that would pounce on this invitation. He doesn't just send the servant to go to some random, you know, home or town or community. He picks a very specific demographic, okay? He says what? Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now, he tells the servant to do it quickly. And quickly is not just how fast the servant went out, but it also signifies how fast the people responded to it and how fast the house filled up. Okay, the idea here is those that were invited, they quickly responded. You didn't have to tell them twice because the group that he sent the servant to were the downtrodden, were the outcasts, were those that opposite to the others that rejected the invitation. These people that the servant invited, by the way, this is last minute, but you didn't have to give them a save the date. You didn't have to give them RSVP invitations. You didn't have to do anything to prep them. They just needed to know that they were invited, and they jumped on board. Because these are the individuals, the poor, the maimed, the halt means crippled, okay, and blind. These are the individuals that would say, you know, my current life is horrible, it's empty, and I can't afford not to go. Hang on. The first group, oh, my life is full, it's busy, too much going on, I can't afford to go. The second group, specifically, my life stinks. My life is horrible. I've got nothing going on in my life. And then says, hey, the governor wants to invite you. Yes! Yes, we're going. Guys, we're going. And so, you know, they got nothing else going on but this. They can't afford not to go. Okay? And so, this is priority one. This is mission one. We got to go. They're happy to go. They not just reluctantly, okay, sure, just to give face, we'll go. If we go now, maybe next time we're in a pickle, he'll owe us. No, they're going because they want to. They really, really want to go. Okay, and so why is this important? Because here's truth number two. We will never embrace God's way until we realize the vanity of ours, our own way. Okay? We will never embrace God's way. We will never respond to God's invitations until we realize the foolishness, the futility, the vanity of our own way. Okay? This is huge. They didn't need to be convinced that their life was going down. It was already down. And so this little glimmer of blessing, like, yes, we'll take it. But here's the application to you and I. First of all, of course, it's being saved. Okay, but beyond that, do I realize that I need to pray? If I realize how necessary and powerful and wonderful prayer is, you won't have to tell me twice, I'll want to do it. Do I realize how much I need to read my Bible? Do I realize how much I need to be in church? Do I realize how much I need to have on the whole armor of God? Do I realize how much I need to, how badly I need to get saved? And then once I'm saved, do I realize how much I need to be baptized? Okay, I mean, all the list goes on. If we really realize it, you won't have to ask twice. You know, God wouldn't have to twist your arm, okay? You won't have to be guilt-tripped. And by the way, if it's from the Holy Spirit, that's not a guilt trip, it's a conviction. And we feel convicted by the Holy Spirit because we are guilty as charged. We aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? And so if we really realize it, we'll do it. Don't ever ask twice. Feel inadequate in life? Feel like a big loser? Well, friends, you're exactly the person that God is inviting. And God wants you to respond. In fact, God's house, we're going to see here, is full of rejects. God's house is full of rejects. In fact, the ones that everyone thinks, again, Jesus is giving this illustration. There's all the rejects standing around. He healed the one man with the dropsy, okay, but everyone else, the rejects are standing around. The esteemed are right there. And so this is a big rebuke against them, the religious, because the ones that assume they're going to be in heaven are not going to be. The ones that we assume have no chance at all, they're going to be saved. Last, first, last, right? And so this is huge. God's house is full of rejects. But the Lord is not done. Look at verse 22. So it goes on, Lord's not done. Verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done. It is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. Okay, I did what you said, master, but there's still a couple of spots left, few spots open, whatever. Are we good? No, we're not good. Okay, this is how badly the Lord wants his house to be filled. Again, certainly the interpretation is on salvation. Okay, God wants everyone to be saved. He sure does. But we can certainly apply this as an extension to that, to even being in the house of God, being in church, right? And so God really, really wants his house to be filled. Remember what Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And so he wants heaven to be filled with sinners, all to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he desires. But people reject it. They have the invite, the universal invitation of the gospel, but they reject it. But you can certainly apply it to church, to God's house of prayer. You know, here we are today. And so there's still some room, the servant says. Well, what's the next instruction? And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And this is truth number three. God really wants his house to be filled. Not just everyone to be invited. I mean, that's good, but it doesn't stop there. He wants his house to be filled. He wants heaven to be filled with sinners who are saved. He wants the church pews, the church seats to be filled with people to worship him. I look around and I feel like this servant at a loss. My friends, we've canvassed this neighborhood, just to give an example, we've numerous times, we've invited. We've broken up into teams. We've gone up and down every which way around here. We've invited pretty much all the homes that can be invited. We invited them to come to church. But they haven't, great many haven't responded to it. If they're going somewhere else, God bless them. Praise God. But they're not coming here. I'm just saying, invitation is one thing. But receiving an invitation is not the same as responding to it. And we will never embrace God's way, God's invitation, if we never realize the vanity of our own way. And God, number three, really, really wants his house to be filled. Look at who he tells the servant to go to. Same group, same demographic. Go into the highways. These are the travelers, those who are weary. Obviously, they've been traveling. They want a place. Someone said, hey, you want a free place to spend for the night? Well, yeah. I mean, don't have to ask twice. Same thing. So those, the weary travelers and the hedges, these are basically the homeless. The hedges are the man-made, hedges that are, you know, made out of thorns and briars and crops, okay, plants that keep out wild animals, that keep out robbers from property. And apparently the homeless were taking shelter there. At least you're safe from the animals, okay? And so there's people there, encamped there. The commandment says, go out to the highways, the weary travelers, the homeless, compel them to come in. Why? That my house may be filled. These are the folks that are going to say, yes, go get them. Go get them. And so look at what, and in fact, this is so sad, because verse 24, the master says this to the servant, you know, and maybe the servant says, are you sure? Because there's a whole bunch of those out there. If I tap that demographic, every seat will be filled. And then, sir, what about those that we first invited, the initial group? What if someone shows up and then we're double booked, right? What if I, because these are all last minute invites. What if I do that and we fill the rest of, you know, to capacity? Can you imagine, like, if you were a restaurant, if you worked in a restaurant, you're a manager, you have a 100-seat restaurant, you know, and you're going to do an event or something, and then someone booked the event, and then they don't show. They booked the event, they don't show, like, well, I got to fill the seats, otherwise you're going to have a bad night. So they go, well, let's let everyone else know that we can still serve them half off or whatever. And then they fill the capacity, and at some point you're like, wait, shouldn't we at least give one table open? Because maybe they'll show up and, you know, they can at least accommodate them. And so the servant possibly thinking, what about any of those originally invited? What if they show up and then now we're double booked because we've jammed every seat? We filled every seat in the house with all these, you know, other people. Look at the absoluteness of the truth in verse 24. The master says, for I say unto you, go ahead and do it. It's okay. Go out to the highways and the hedges. Do it. For I say unto you that none, a big 0%, of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. It's not just doing a condemnation. What he's doing is an affirmation. He's saying, it's okay, servant, do it. Because he knows the original group that was invited, none are going to show up. He knows that we're not going to be double booked, okay? There won't be over capacity. Just fill it with whoever wants to be there. That's God's desire. To have an invitation to receive it is not the same as responding to it. God desires, he really, really desires his house to be filled. I'm thankful that I'm here. God's thankful that you're here. But I feel like this servant sometime at such a loss. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. Sunday rolled around and the house is not filled. Now, the blessing is we get next Sunday. Amen. God is gracious. But don't notice the servant here. God wants his zeal of the master to fill his house is so strong that he didn't just tell the servant after the first round of inviting those who are downtrodden. He didn't say, well, good job, A for effort, we're good. No, he says, go out again. And that needs to be our MO, my friends. Inviting folks is how we do it. But the goal is not to invite folks. The goal is to fill God's house. Big difference. It's a lot easier to meet my goal of just inviting people, because I can invite everyone. And go to Facebook. Everyone's invited. All right. No, well, but inviting is the start. It's not the end. God desires his house to be filled. The seat next to us, next to you, next to me, he desires that to be filled. Again, by extension, the application is he wants heaven to be filled with souls of the redeemed. That's God's desire. Jesus Christ came. He sacrificed his life. He was tortured, crucified, mocked, disfigured. And he died a commoner's death. In fact, worse than a commoner, a criminal's death, right? He was mocked as a criminal, as a wannabe, as a false king. But he rose from the dead, conquering death and hell. And so he reigns supreme, and one day he's coming back. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us about the scoffers that will come in the last days. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Yes, we can feel like this servant and say, Lord, I did what you asked, but there's still room. And can I say to you, my friends, we might be stuck on step 22 for a while. If be, so be it. Keep inviting. Keep inviting. Keep inviting until God's house is full. That is his desire. That is his heart. Receiving an invitation is not the same as responding to it. We will never embrace God's way until we realize the vanity of our own ways. By the way, when I put it in the context of how sometimes I praise God for his blessings, but if I'm not careful, God's blessings can become a hindrance. God's, maybe he gives me a promotion, and I'm so thankful for that, praising God for it. But now with this promotion, I'm just too busy to serve God. Ooh, that's not what God intended. In fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I realize the circumstances in life, things I pray for, things I rejoice over, when I think back to the first group that rejected the invitation, if it would help me to always answer God's invitations to not just salvation, I hope you're saved and I rejoice with you, but every commandment that God invites us to obey, whether it's to grow in our walk with God, to be more faithful, to pray without ceasing, to read his word and to witness more, every invitation that God gives to me, for you and I to have a better likelihood of responding, God knows the pride of our heart. And so does the Apostle Paul. And that's why he says this. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 9. Paul, of course, had some hardships, some health struggles. He prayed to God thrice. And then God responded and said to him in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul needed to be humbled as well. And his physical condition from the time he prayed to the time God responds to him did not change, but his mindset changed. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. In other words, if we know that responding to God's invitations is a wonderful thing and I need to do it, my friends, maybe I shouldn't be so adverse to being blind, maimed, halt, and poor. Because if I'm in that predicament, all those people, they responded right away. When I'm praying in my flesh for God to bless me and build me up and make my life so good that I don't need him anymore, I'll be like the first group, right? Because the first group, oh, my life is so full, I just can't afford to come. sorry, can't partake. The second group, my life is a failure and my life is empty. You bet I'm going to show up. You don't have to ask me twice, okay? And so this is what Paul is saying. He would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, because he's going to respond to those invites. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And this is what God knows that we need, but we don't want, right? Hardships. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when we are put down, then I am strong, because then we respond to those invitations. When God says, come, yes, Lord, I'm there. Because God knows this heart of mine, my friends, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it, but I can't know it. And it's easy, and I'm so thankful that God doesn't give me all my prayers, doesn't answer all my prayers, because I don't know what I'm asking. I think I'm asking for something good. Lord, it'd be nice if I win the Powerball. Is it Powerball? No, that's the Taco Bell, the Powerball. Powerball, that's the lottery, right? Lord, it'd be good if I win the Powerball. I can help all the missions. I mean, yeah, but it might corrupt my heart. God knows I can handle it. And so I'm so thankful that God gives me what I need, not what I want. But when I know that premise, I can trust him and praise him. And when I understand that I need to respond to God's invitations and the pride of life, okay, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, okay, and just the things of the world that would keep me away from responding to that needful invitation, won't we take pleasure in our infirmities? And so where are we at today, my friends? God desires us to respond. He's given us the invitation, the universal invitation of the gospel to be saved. But every facet of our life after that, do I realize how much I need it? Or perhaps God needs to humble me. Amen? Oh me, let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. Father, I need you. I love you, Lord. And I confess, Lord, I mess up all the time. I pray sometimes I don't know what to pray. But help me to just praise you, because that's a guarantee. And I can rest in that truth, that you desire me to praise you. And that I can do. I can confess that I'm a sinner. That I can do. I need to be more thankful. And I should be more thankful. Help me to do that. But Father, help me to trust you. As the Holy Spirit of God makes intercession even for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. I thank you, Father, that he intercedes for me, because I know not how I ought to pray. I think I know, but that's just my pride. And so, Father, help me to decrease and help you to increase in our lives. And Father, if we need to be humbled, in fact, we need to be humbled. Father, help us to be in a place where my flesh don't want to go. But put me in a place so that when you invite me, I will quickly, gladly respond. Bless this invitation time with every head bowed, every eye closed as the piano starts playing.